This is Paul Jindrasiak for Sunday Morning Town Square, and we're going to be chatting about technology, innovation, and entrepreneurship in Grand Rapids. I'm joined by Keith Brophy from Ideomed and Michael LaMonaco from Open System Technologies. How are you doing today?
Doing well, Paul. Thank you.
Great. Happy to be here.
So if each of you could start out, tell me a little bit about what it is your business does.
Ideomed is a engagement company, as we call ourselves, and our focus is to engage individuals in self-management of their health in conjunction with a care team. We use web and mobile technologies, and we tackle chronic conditions such as asthma and now heart, as well as general wellness conditions.
Okay.
Mike? OST is about 16 years old. We are a full-service IT and technology consulting firm. So from the data center to, you know, custom software and application development, we kind of run the gamut, as well as providing, you know, managed services for companies of all different types of sizes, and advisory services. So things like business process, IT security, et cetera.
Okay. And Keith, how did you get started in Ideomed?
Ideomed launched a little bit over 2 years ago, and it was a spinoff and seed funded by Spectrum Innovations. Mm-hmm. And the mission of the business was to bring innovative technology and make a difference in chronic condition management. We worked on the business focus over time to hone it into our focus today, which is providing the technology-based web and mobile tools to insurance companies, and then working with them to roll out to populations with chronic conditions. So it was an idea about a better approach, mm-hmm. and the concept that technology could make a difference.
Mm-hmm. And Michael, before we started rolling, you were kind of talking about before you were in a non-technology business. And what led you to want to be interested in working in technologies, and what are some of the differences that you've seen between the two industries?
Yeah, coming from manufacturing and now into the technology sector from a marketing perspective is really interesting. What really drew me to technology is that at OST, because of our entrepreneurial nature, mm-hmm. and the fact that we are, you know, are a full service firm that offers so much, we find that, you know, every 6 months or so, we're kind of reevaluating our business and in a sense, at times reinventing ourselves, mm-hmm. Because technology changes, trends change, and so whereas manufacturing, you know, it's more product marketing, right? So whether it be to the consumer or B2B, change isn't as rampant or as quick to move as certainly not as technology. And so from a marketing perspective, it's a lot of fun to continually to find new and innovative ways to reach our audience, which is at OST is primarily B2B. And I think we're seeing that now in some of the decisions that are being made at the IT level that really center around marketing, and marketing kind of leading that, mm-hmm. and some of those decisions where in the past it might have been supply chain or other areas. So that's what really drew me, is that it's just constant innovation, it is fun. I mean, it's a ton of fun. And then the challenges are daily.
Now, Keith, you've had a number of successful businesses. You're a serial entrepreneur. What drives you in that way?
Well, I think Michael captured on some of the elements in his description of the mood at OST, and I think that's the trait of any successful entrepreneurial endeavor: the exhilaration of building something and keeping up with the fast pace of change. Certainly, the technology field is full of waves of change. But as you look at any industry, the tempo of change has steadily picked up over the last couple of decades. Mm-hmm. Healthcare, you know, the focus of Ideomed is going through terrific transformation. So the attraction for entrepreneurial business building, you know, for me, is creating a business where there's been none before, being able to reach out and touch lives, to build a viable economic entity, mm-hmm. where there's been none before, and to do that by surfing the sea of change and looking for the right waves, if you will.
Sure. Now, Michael, you were touching on before kind of entrepreneurship within a company.
Yeah.
What are some of the aspects of that that you're seeing with Open Systems Technologies?
Well, you know, really entrepreneurialism is at the core of OST as a business. We were founded by two individuals and 16 years ago, and now have grown to, you know, 112 employees and,
wow.
and $70 million in revenue. And so, but the reason for that growth and the reason we've been able to inspire it and manage it from a cultural perspective at the mm-hmm. same time is that essentially our company is 112 entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And so we challenge – OST challenges our employees and our leadership team to bring new ideas to the table. And, I mean, whereas, you know, at our infancy, we were really a – you know, in the hardware business mm-hmm. and the data center. In the last 10 years, you know, and even in the last couple of years – where we've now become much more service-centric, things mm-hmm. like application development practice, which, you know, started at OST not even 4 years ago and is now over $7.5 million of our total revenue. I mean, it's amazing. And so we give that freedom of our employees to think creatively and think outside the box, so to speak, to develop businesses within OST.
What are some of the ways that you're doing that to encourage and inspire that?
You know, I think it's been talked a lot about here in West Michigan and Grand Rapids, and it's just the freedom and the opportunity to fail. We've had failures in our 16 years, certainly. Dan Beam and Jim, before founding OST, had failures in startups they tried. I'm sure Keith has experienced some failures in his life in startups. So we almost encourage it. And we look at those as opportunities to be better
sure.
and to do things differently. And sure. so, you know, we feel like we've tried just about everything. And some things have been, like I said, very successful, like our application development practice, like our IT security practice.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's been other things that we've tried that just haven't worked so well. Maybe in terms of, you know, trying to grow geographically. At one point, we tried to grow in all these cities all at once, and it didn't work so well. But we focus all of our time and energy into growing our Minneapolis office, for instance, you know, a few years ago, and now it's coming, and you know, we have 14, 15 employees out there, and we're doing very, very well. And so, you know, it's a take risk, take chances.
Sure.
And at the same time, you know, encourage employee development and learning new skills.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about failure, and that's something nobody sets out to do. But when it happens, whether it's a business as a whole or maybe a project, mm-hmm. How does the business or you yourself, Keith, how do you look at that failure and dissect it and decide what went wrong, what went right, and what you need to do in the future going forward?
A key fundamental of entrepreneurial success, I believe, is looking at a failure as a gift, and hopefully along the path of building successes and failures, the best case is you can have controlled failures. And as I look back at some of my past endeavors, that's one thing we were able to do is take risks and dive into things like product launches as a sidearm of a mainstream
okay.
business, but have it set up as a controlled failure. So if it didn't work, we could take the lessons learned and infuse them into what we tackle next.
Keep it contained.
Next, but the you know you learn more about improving a business from taking some risks and finding out what doesn't work or what's not quite ready, than you do from the easy successes.
Sure.
Right.
Any additional insights, Mike?
No, I mean, I think Keith's right on. And I think, you know, I think right along with that is that culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's fairly prevalent, you know, throughout the technology industry. But I know it's something we really embrace at OST is that, you know, we put our employees first and foremost, and we're not afraid to be very open and honest about that.
Sure.
It comes down to treating the employees right and treating them well, and customers come second. And we feel our philosophy on that allows us then to, thirdly, have some profitability and success. If you treat your employees right and you hire the right people who mm-hmm. really care about solving individuals and businesses' problems, that the rest all just kind of falls into place pretty well. Not without some pain and some trials and tribulations,
sure.
but all in all, I think the proof is in the pudding, so to speak.
Well, talking about from the employee standpoint, how do you go about creating that culture?
I think you have to be very, very deliberate about it and very open and honest and transparent about it.
Mm-hmm.
I say all the time to some of my peers that I feel like I'm just totally spoiled at OST because I have very few questions about where we stand as a business, where I stand as an employee, mm-hmm. Where my team is, and where the company is going. Some people even say we're almost too transparent with our employees, but we feel we can't be transparent enough. We're always looking for ways to be more and more open and where we're going, why decisions were made, and again, just challenging our employees to really be involved in that process.
Sure.
And so it has to be very deliberate. We invest a lot into that. If you looked at the best practices, so to speak, I mean, it impacts our profitability, but we're okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, in the IT industry, the technology industry, it's a stressful industry. There's nothing we can do to change that.
Right.
Things go wrong. Things are crazy. Things change so quickly. But we can create a culture and an environment where people are so excited to come into work every day and solve just some of the most complex issues and problems that businesses are facing these days, whether you're a startup or mm-hmm. a Fortune 50 company.
And Keith, any thoughts and feelings on how you create a successful culture within an organization?
Yes, I've put a lot of thought into creating the ideal entrepreneurial culture, and I've had stretches in my business endeavors and businesses I've launched with others, I've had magic cultures that have been full of creative energy and success, and I've seen those grow, and things can creep into the culture that shifts that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been great to have a couple chances to start new endeavors, and with IdeoMed, we have a culture of energy and passion and forward momentum, but it doesn't come by accident. There's some conscious things that you have to do. One is have openness in an environment where ideas are shared and it's safe to critique. At our team meetings, we talk about issues that might seem important to just one department, like sales, but we sit around the team and the table with the team, and everybody throws ideas on the table. And our office manager or our finance manager might say to our VP of sales or to me as CEO, you know, that seems crazy, or I don't get it, or you know, have you thought about this? Where that comes from is we have three internal credos that kind of set the stage for everything we try to build with culture. One is respect for the company and the individual.
Sure.
Because it has to be a two-way street. You mm-hmm. can't be a company that just, you know, coddles employees without, you know, recognizing that the company, you know, needs to thrive as well. So, you know, by having the respect for the company and the individual is one of our credos. It really sets a great tone for us. Our second credo is the power of profit and all the good that it can do. From prior business endeavors where I had to explain a lot to our growing team why we needed to be profitable. You know, with this company, we thought we're just going to build it right into our culture. Good things come from profit.
Sure.
And our third credo is the heartfelt conviction that in our own way we can change the world for the better.
Mm-hmm.
So between those three credos, the power of profit, respect for the individual and the company, and our heartfelt belief we can change the world, we just stay true to those credos as we build out the business, and it makes for a fearless and bold culture that gets things done.
Terrific.